Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, may your word make its way into our hearts and produce a hundredfold by transforming us in mind, heart, and soul. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed how people treat the same information in many different ways? The exact same information, and different people treat it in different ways. For example, warning signs at Yellowstone National Park, as Yellowstone's been in the news recently. The warning signs are everywhere. Caution, do not approach wildlife. Bear country, store all food in vehicle, read bulletin board regulations. And the most obvious one is all wildlife are dangerous. Then there's the unstable ground, boiling water warnings. And then the specific, stay on designated trails. When wet or dry. And then danger, thermal area. With those warnings, some people hear and some don't. Some obey and some don't. This past spring, a woman approached a buffalo sitting by the boardwalk around Old Faithful and reached out and tried to pet it. Did you see that video on the internet? She was fortunate. The bison just shook its head and stayed relaxing, sitting there on the ground. Then the news about the people putting the bison calf in their car and taking it to the ranger station. Just a couple weeks ago, four filmmakers from Canada, they left the trail and walked to the edge of the Grand Prismatic Spring. They saw the warning information, and fortunately, they were not injured. However, others did not heed the warnings and were seriously injured by wild animals. Others have left the Canyon Rim trails, and they've fallen, losing their lives. And this past week in Yellowstone, a 23-year-old young man left the trail with his sister, walking 225 yards into an isolated area in the Norris Geyser Basin. He slipped into a boiling spring that was highly acidic. Very tragic. Very preventable. Through the years, many have asked the park to do more to prevent such tragedies. And the park officials have said there is some behavior that signs can't prevent. Same words, same signs. Some listen and some ignore. The exact same information, when you pay attention and you take the words to heart, it can mean the difference between safety or injury, even life or death. Jesus gets into a boat and sits down, and on the shore were scores and scores of people standing, waiting to hear Jesus teach. And Jesus began to teach them in many parables. He begins one with, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Simply said, the seed is the message Jesus is teaching. And the seed is equally scattered. Each listener has the same seed sown in his or her direction. Mercy and grace scatter the seed to all. Scatters the words of life to all. So it's not the condition of the seed or the quality of the seed that falls in each place. The seed is of the highest quality and is the finest that could ever be given. Words spoken from Jesus, the Son of God. Words spoken from the Creator, given equally to all. It is the individual person that is the difference. And that is exactly what is shown as Jesus explains his parable to the disciples. Some don't understand, Some don't have root. Some have the cares of the world as more important. And some produce an amazing crop. That seed is wonderful. It is amazing. Words of mercy and grace. All the teachings of Jesus summed up and taken together are the seed. The seed is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same seed is scattered. Will have different outcomes based solely on the individual person. Like the warning signs in Yellowstone, the outcome is based on the individual person. Those who listen and obey will live. Those who ignore may lose their life. As with Jesus' seed scattered, the difference is also life or death. The words of Jesus are life. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. These seeds are life, and you can tell they changed Peter. John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69, Simon Peter answered Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The seed is scattered, and there are four types of hearers: the path, the rocky soil, the thorns, and the good soil. Four different types of hearers hear according to their heart condition. As you are listening this morning, think of your own heart condition. For at times you are good soil, and at times you may be one of the other three. Be sure it's good soil right now. Seed along the path. Jesus said the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in the heart. Listen, there is an evil one that does not want you to understand the word of God. There is an evil one that tries to snatch it away. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. An example of a person blinded by the God of this age is Richard Dawkins. He is an atheist. In his book, God Delusion, Richard Dawkins writes, "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, thirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynist, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully." That's Richard Dawkins, the God of the Old Testament. Now, do you come to the same conclusion as Dawkins when you read the Old Testament? No. Same information. Richard Dawkins is like the hard path. Seed in the rocky place. Sunflowers are growing in front of our house again. And there was one that was beginning to grow, and it was just off to the races, growing faster than all the others. But then I noticed it was leaning forward one day, and if it kept growing like that, it would not succeed in growing. It was just leaning too much, so I propped it up and set it forth so it'd grow towards the sun. Well, a couple days later, it's now leaning backwards, and I go, now that's strange. It shouldn't be leaning backwards. So I move the mulch away, and I find out it has no root. The landscaping cloth prevented it from sinking its roots down. So I dug a hole in the landscaping cloth and put it through and propped it up and watered it. And it's still growing. but it's not the fastest and the biggest anymore. It had no root. There is a difference. The sunflower that looked to be the best and the strongest and would be the tallest, it had hardly any root. Does your faith have roots? It is the times of persecution and trouble that you find out what your faith is really made of. And it is precisely those times that deep roots grow deeper. But I know of people, and perhaps you know of people, who have fallen away because God did not answer their prayer during a time of tragedy. Anger at God grows in their hearts, and they turn their back on God, for they feel as if God has turned His back on them. Faith, it's based on emotions. And as the emotions come and go, the faith rises and it falls. There is no root of theology there. There is no root of doctrine there that withstands the ebbs and flows of emotion. And you add enough of that emotional roller coaster, and the person says, I want off. I'm getting off. The evil one has managed to break another person's faith. The seed sown in the thorns. Have you ever seen an untended garden or a vacant house? And over time, what was very beautiful has become overgrown and gets to that point of even unrecognizable. And that can happen to you. Distractions is the simplest way to understand the thorns. Faith takes focus. Faith takes effort. It takes practice. It takes single-mindedness. Faith takes daily habits. Do the things of Christian faith day in and day out. Attend worship faithfully. The evil one will try to distract you, to take your time and your energy away from the things of God. And those distractions take several forms. Many common ones are sports or work or hobbies or a new relationship with a non-church-going friend, a non-believer. Excuses given from Sunday's the only day I can sleep in, or I'm trying to get an athletic scholarship, or... But Eric Liddell has shown the power of honoring God. To be blunt, distractions diminish faith by saying to God, the world is more important than my relationship with you. The good soil, that is what we all desire to be. Prepared to receive the seed from the hand of the sower and produce that multifold over and over and over. But being good soil takes work. One does not walk out to a patch of ground and say, this will be my garden. And then scatters corn seed and then scatters some pepper seeds and scatters beans and peas. Cauliflower, forget that. And just scatters the seeds in different places and expects it to be a garden? Are you kidding me? First, the patch of ground has to be prepared to receive the seed. It needs to be broken up, turned over, softened, fertilized. It takes effort to produce a place that is ready for the seeds. How is your heart prepared to hear the word of God? First, and this is vital, and this is first and foremost, this is key. Is your heart prepared to hear the word of God as the Holy Scriptures is the word of God? No ifs, no buts, no picking and choosing. Scripture is the word of God. The heart that approaches Scripture that way is prepared to be good soil. The reason this is important is that you see, the seed from the Scripture is good. You see that word, that seed from Holy Scriptures as the truth to be planted in you. That seed will grow good in you. For some, they see the seeds of Holy Scriptures as vines and as weeds that will grow up and strangle their individual freedom, choke out their individual choices. May that not be so with you. May you see all of Scripture as good, as seed to be planted in you that will produce in you such character that each day you become more Christ-like in mercy, compassion, forgiveness towards other, gentleness, self-control, or as Paul puts it forth in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like a garden that becomes overgrown through neglect, a person's heart can cease to be good soil and become overgrown with thorns, then like the rocky soil till it reaches the hard path condition. A heart that is in rebellion towards God. A heart that once loved God now is shaking a fist in defiance towards God. The form it is taking now is, I will be the authentic me. I will accept myself. And they view it as a green light to do whatever feels good while totally ignoring the word of God that says what you feel is good is sin in God's eyes. Picking and choosing what you like in the Scripture and deciding what applies today and rejecting any form of constraint on behavior. As Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. The condition of the heart matters. It impacts the way one hears the Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus concludes his parable saying in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, this hearing is really not about the parable itself. It's about what the parable is teaching. This is all about what Jesus has been saying about himself. Context, remember context, the parable's context, Matthew chapter 12. The Pharisees ask Jesus for a sign, and he answers, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Jesus goes on to say that one is greater than Jonah here. Meaning himself, the very presence of God. Jesus, God, is there in their midst. What are you going to do about that? Pharisees, mostly the hard soil. Various people in between. Hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what this parable of sower is about. It's not about the seeds or the sower, the soil. It's about hearing the redeeming message of Jesus Christ and responding in faith. How the seed of Jesus is rejected or received determines the condition of the soil of the heart. Again, the Pharisees, hard soil, hard hearts. They were rejecting Jesus left and right. Tax collectors, prostitutes, the lame and poor. They were good soil. Good hearts receiving the word that Jesus was giving them. You can pay attention to the warning signs at Yellowstone and be safe, or you can disregard and reject to your own peril. You can receive Jesus Christ and His gospel with the fullness of the implications that lead to the transforming of your heart and your life meaning receiving the fullness of all of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. Or you can reject it all to your own peril. It's about the seed, the Word of God being received in your heart, and your heart rending and responding in repentance for sin and calling upon the Savior for forgiveness and redemption. Believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen.